الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فإن مع الأسر يسرا، إن مع الأسر يسرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There's a very famous ayat of the Quran in the last juz where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that indeed with every difficulty there is ease. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats that statement, إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that indeed with every difficulty there is ease. And that's how normally we translate this into English, that indeed after every hardship, after every difficulty, there is ease. This is a very beautiful and a very deep ayat of the Quran, and we can extract a lot of lessons from this ayah. The first is a point of Arabic language, a nukta of Arabic language, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about the difficulty or the hardship, that is referred to by this word al-usri. Al-usr means hardship, but you have the alif lam at the beginning, which is makes a definite hardship. Whenever you have an alif lam, it becomes a definite particle, a definite word, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about some specific, specified, definite difficulty, one difficulty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats, Inna ma'al usri yusra. So again, that al-usr, it's referring to one specific difficulty or hardship. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about ease, the word is yusra, and there is no alif lam at the beginning. And when you don't have an alif lam, it becomes common, it becomes general, indefinite. And then again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats it, Inna ma'al usri yusra, again without the alif lam. The meaning is that for every specified difficulty, there are two eases. Because alif lam, that al-usr, that is being repeated again. So it's referring to that same difficulty or hardship. But the yusr or the ease, that is being repeated, but in both cases it's without the alif lam. So it's referring to two eases, two separate eases. And this is an ayat of mercy, that in every single difficulty, Allah follows it up that in fact inside that difficulty there are two eases. Now when we try to understand this ayat of the Quran, there are several levels of meaning. The first meaning is a very simple meaning that all of us are familiar with, that after every hardship comes ease. So sometimes we can take that to mean that I'm going through a difficult period in my life, there's some hardship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that after a difficult period there will be ease. And again, another thing that we have to remember that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word fa'inna, that indeed this is used to dispel any doubt or any shak, any skepticism that a person might have about this ayah. Fa'inna, that indeed, certainly, right, without any doubt. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a promise that after every single difficulty, there will be ease. And that is one basic meaning. And normally people speak about that do sabr, be patient, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised ease. And that promise is referring back to this ayah, inna ma'al usri yusra. Then there's also a second meaning, that sometimes it means that I'm going through some difficult period. That difficulty is impacting me now. I'm feeling that worry, feeling that anxiety right now. And afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring ease to my heart. And afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring ease to my heart, listen to this carefully, even though the difficulty will remain. In other words, even though that difficult period would still be there, I'll be experiencing that difficult period, but I won't be feeling that anxiety in my heart. Yani, before I was experiencing two things. I was experiencing some difficult period, some hardship, and in addition to that, I was also feeling that tension, that anxiety, that pain, that depression. That is al-usr. And after that, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me a feeling of ease, even though He may not remove that difficulty from me. So inside my feeling, there will be contentment, there will be serenity, there will be solace. So in my heart, there will be sukoon and nitminan. Even though outside, that difficulty in an outward sense will still be there. So what this means is that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us the ability to cope with difficulty. Any my response, my ability to cope, my immunity will change. And that's how Allah will help me. Initially, I will be susceptible to sadness and grief. But then when I will return to Him through ibadah, through worship, through obedience, through remembrance, all those things that we have mentioned before, right, through dua, through righteous company, through ittiba, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the barakah of all of that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the effect of that difficulty. Allah will make me immune. Allah will lead me to a state of yusr, to a state of ease, where my heart will be at ease. My heart will be content, even if there is a storm outside. There might be a storm around me. And this is another ayah that might be relevant in these times. There might be a storm around us. There might be a chaos in the world. That storm remains, but we are able to find that inner calmness in our heart. That's the second meaning of this ayah. And it's very important to understand this second meaning. Because sometimes we make dua, and sometimes when our situation doesn't change outwardly, we feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not listen to my dua, or we begin to lose our yaqeen on Allah, or sometimes even losing our iman on those verses. We become skeptical, we become doubtful, we leave the remembrance, we leave dua. So one meaning certainly is that Allah can remove that difficulty. Allah will remove, can remove, may remove that difficulty. But a second more prominent meaning that all of us should be aware is that I will do something that even while I'm surrounded by that storm outside, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant me my portion of the sunshine. And that is more incredible. In some sense, it shows to you the more incredible power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is surely that Allah can remove that storm from outside you. And naturally, when the storm goes away, so that all the anxiety with that storm also goes away. Naturally, sunshine will occur when you remove the storm. But what's even more incredible is that the storm remains, but somehow someone can, through their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their heart can pierce, right? And the heart can generate a column of sunshine for themselves. There's a column of nur, a column of itminan, a column of peace and tranquility, calmness inside their heart, simply by virtue of their direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is really one of the benefits of the remembrance of Allah. We last time had this session on dhikr, and that's why Allah says in Quran, Allah bi dhikr Allahi tatma'innul qulub. That indeed in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find that tranquility. Hearts find that tranquility. It's not saying that when a person remembers Allah, your zahiri situation will become okay, or your outward situation will be fine. Or if we become person of remembrance, Allah will fix our worldly situation. Our worldly situation is due to a combination of many different factors, a lot of causes and effect. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant by this ayah is that the itminan does not come from your worldly situation. Your itminan does not come from your wealth or from your health, from some zahiri outward type of happiness. The true real itminan comes from being connected to Allah in your heart. And therefore it's a glad tiding to the believer that when true itminan enters the heart, no matter what the zahiri situation is, it's not dependent on the zahir. Your itminan is not dependent on the zahir. So no matter how difficult the situation outside is, how hard or how stressful, and people are complaining and people are stressing you out because of the zahiri outward situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing our tasalli. Allah is giving us consolation, giving us hosla, giving us encouragement that if you can connect your heart to me, connect yourself to me, I will give you ease even in this hardship. You'll have the sunshine during the storm. And that is really the benefit of the remembrance of Allah. It's like, I'll give you another example. You have a flame and you put that flame inside a bell jar. And then you place that bell jar outside in a thunderstorm. Nothing will happen to that flame, because it's protected by that bell jar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the heart of that person from outside tornadoes and windstorms. Outside there might be a storm, but inside Allah gives them that sunshine, that light of iman, that light of sukoon, that contentment, that itminan, peace and serenity. And that is the real benefit of the remembrance of Allah. And that's why people who are regularly able to remember Allah or do ibadah, they're steadfast, you will find that Allah will still test them. It's not that the tests will go away, life will become rosy. There are many thorns in their life and there will be difficulties. Sometimes the person might feel more difficulties than the normal person. In fact, the greatest example is that of the prophets, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alayhi salatu wasalam, they were tested the most by Allah. Sayyidina Rasulullah said that I've been tested among all the prophets of Allah. And then those who are nearer to me, they will be tested the more. They'll be tested more. So we don't just, that difficulty outwards, in an outward sense, might still remain. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the ability that inside their heart, they're able to find contentment. That difficulty, it doesn't affect their temperament in any way. It doesn't cloud their mind. doesn't pause them, doesn't make them susceptible to sadness or depression or tension. Why? Because they established a relationship with Allah. And they're anchored into that ease, that yusr. And the remembrance of Allah is really our anchor into itminan. Once we are well anchored, then we can move ahead. And then that's a separate task. We can make dua to Allah to grant us ease, even in our halat. Even in the outward situation, Allah improve those situations also for us. That's separate. So when we understand the second meaning of this verse is really telling us about remembrance. That if a person can remember Allah, be regularly established in our life, then that will lead to itminan and will lead to ease in our life. And this sometimes happens when you already have a regular regimen of ibadah. There's a mistake that sometimes many people make, or those who are newly inclined towards Islam, they make, that they try to turn to Allah in times of need. They try to turn to ibadah. And watch what I'm about to say, for otherwise it's a good emotion. But there is a misunderstanding that they try to turn to ibadah in times of need. The reality is that that ibadah which you were doing regularly, that is going to benefit you in the time of difficulty. When you're inside that difficulty, that's not a time when you can become a person of ibadah or istiqama. Your life is in turmoil at that time. Your life is in upheaval. It's not the time to ground yourself. That person who, when they were in good times, when things were doing well, everything was going well, when they had free time, and at that time when they turned to ibadah and they worshipped Allah, made dua, remembrance, they built a store for them, a foundation, a refuge for them. They had a sanctuary now. And now they can turn to that sanctuary whenever things are going tough. Otherwise, if you don't have that refuge, then you won't have that sanctuary to go to. And sometimes that's the reason why you will see that many people, when things are fine, they don't worship. But when things become difficult, they start worship and they're doing for 2 days, 3 days. And sometimes they get depressed from that also. They drop out. And shaitan then makes them completely distant from any sign of worship. Shaitan works in that way. It's stopping us from worship. Worship means everything, right? Dua, remembrance, istighfar, sunnah, nafil, all of that. So we should know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us, and Allah will test every single person. Everyone will have a difficulty, some disloyalty in their life, some betrayal, all types of things. Every person will have such things, their own share. The question is, how do we react? And our ability to weather that storm depends on if we have that ibadah. Do we have something to fall back on? And if we have that ibadah, we can fall back on that ibadah. That will give us contentment in our heart. The remembrance of Allah will be a sanctuary. We can go and reside in that sanctuary. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that you should value five things before five. And one of them is your free time, which you can take in a more broader meaning, that take advantage of the state of aman before you fall in a state of test. In a state of peace before you fall in a state of test. That's not the moment. Then you will be scrambling. And this is a place, a dunya, where every moment will be tested in some way. Some grief, some worry will always remain. There will not come a time of absolute free from worries forever. That then we can go back and do ibadah. That will only come in Jannah when you'll be completely free from all worries. That time won't come here. So we have to habitualize us to do ibadah so that when we're going through that difficulty, our heart will be at rest, right? So that we can continue with ibadah, we can do ibadah along with those worries. There will be worries in childhood, worries in young adult life, when he's in a mature adult life, before marriage, after marriage, right? The nature of worries might be different. The intensity might be different, but they'll still remain. Like a sugar patient, right? They'll eat their entire life with care. We should also think that some worry will always remain. So why waste time? Why not just add ibadah with that worry? And if those worries won't leave me, why leave my ibadah? And the benefit is that because of this ibadah, when the time for worries will come, because of that ibadah, Allah will give us contentment in the heart. Right? So this is the second meaning of this verse. Inna ma'al usri yusra. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the column of sunshine, even though there might be a storm outside. And then there's a third way to look at this verse, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear that this process is going to be cyclical. In other words, a person is going to get ease through difficulty. Inna ma'al usri yusra. That every hardship that comes has a hidden embedded ease inside of it. And if you look at the Arabic, it's not that ba'd al-usri yusra, that after difficulty will be ease. It's ma'al usri yusra. With difficulty there is ease. Every hardship that comes has an embedded hidden ease inside of it. And two eases inside of it. To connect now to the earlier point that I made. And that is again how the early Muslims, they understood this. That the difficulties of this life, of this world, they're coming, but inside those difficulties, there are two eases, at least two eases that are hidden. And that's why, you know, you hear about some of the teachers and scholars who mention in different verses and poetry, that, oh Allah, we are pleased with you, whether you keep us in a state of contentment or whether you keep us in a state of discomfort. Right? In fact, you will find that some people will go and reach the second stage and they would prefer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send some hardship their way. And you don't ask for it, but if something comes from Allah as a test or a difficulty, these people will have sabr, they will welcome it. And then some people like us, we're not able to understand these stories of the early Muslims, right? That this is some type of super duper renunciation or zuhd, that they're asking for difficulties and hardship. No, they're not asking for hardship. They, when they get that hardship, they want the ease that comes embedded with that difficulty, because they knew that every hardship came with the potential to discover that special help and that ease of Allah. Every storm that came is just a chance to discover that calmness in the center of that storm. And that's why they were welcoming the storm. Otherwise, nobody welcomes a storm, right? No one in their right mind welcomes a storm. But they were welcoming that contentment, that calmness, that ease that was embedded in that difficulty. Because the hardship brought that ease. Hence, they welcomed that hardship. And why did they do this? Why were they welcoming? It wasn't their zuhad or renunciation from the world. It was their remembrance with Allah, remembrance of Allah, their taluk with Allah, their zikr, their ibadah, worship. Because they were so successful in being regular in the remembrance of Allah, they knew that due to the barakah of their remembrance and their ibadah, they would be able to discover that ease inside of it. That would be able to pierce through. And therefore, they did welcome that hardship. Because they knew that they had the ability, using their ibadah and zikr, they could slice through that because of their connection with Allah. And that's another beautiful thing. And then finally, there's a fourth way of looking at this verse, which is slightly different, where we understand this word yusr differently, ease differently. Yusr doesn't always mean, usr doesn't always mean hardship and difficulty. It can also mean your mihnat, and the mujahida, the striving that you're doing. And now the meaning will be that with every struggle comes reward. With every effort comes benefit. So now the way we can understand this is that whenever we do any acts of mujahida, whenever we do any ibadah, we're forcing ourselves, we're making dhikr, remembrance of Allah, it requires some effort. Not in terms of this, so this is like a usr, not in terms of being a hardship, but in terms of being a struggle. And every action that we do will bring a result. And this is cyclical, right? Allah will give us a reward for that action. Allah will give us some benefit, some hidayah. And that's what Allah says elsewhere in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, that whoever makes mujahida for us on our path, literally means mujahida, they struggle, they strive, they make effort to come close to us, then what happens? لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا, that surely, certainly, undoubtedly, we will guide that person towards us in multiple pathways, on multiple ways. Yani this person wanted to draw close to Allah in one way. He does mujahida, or he, she does mujahida, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return will open up multiple pathways for that person. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Subul means number of paths. Allah will pull that person towards him in a number of different ways. He will get this blast of hidayah multiple times. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. Allah will shower hidayah, multiple hidayah, that will bring that person to Allah on multiple paths. So it's like you take one step towards Allah and Allah's mercy will come to you racing, right? We did this before also. That you come to Allah walking, Allah's mercy will come to you running. So whatever we do, whatever effort and struggle we do for the sake of Allah, Allah is going to reward and respond in a much more incredible, immense way, according to His own shan. Elsewhere, Allah says that you remember me, fadhkuruni adhkurkum, that if you remember me, I will remember you. It's the same thing. So when you remember me, that will require some struggle, some effort. But with that, Allah will remember you. You will become the object of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will become the mazkur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you become the mazkur of Allah, the object of remembrance of Allah, Allah will shower His blessings onto your heart, will give you contentment and solace in your heart. You will feel those salawat and blessings and barakat. So if you look then at this ayat, Allah has shown that you need to have both difficulty, yusr and usr both. You cannot get the reward or the benefit without that struggle. In other words, there will always be some activity, some struggling and striving that is then going to give you that benefit later on. It's like a person, no, it's like a rain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the rain, right? When a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just take that verse, like فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ, that you remember me, I will remember you. So what's happening here? Person sits down and let's say he or she, they're really doing amal on this ayah. And what they really want is that Allah rains those waridat, His zikr on their heart. She is doing amal on fadhkuruni, she is remembering Allah. And then when Allah will remember him or her, Allah will shower that person's heart with His nur. When Allah sends the rain on the spiritual heart of that believer, right, that person will feel it. That will continue, right? And then maybe this benefit will continue even later. Will give birth to fruits and vegetables. It will give birth to your amal, your iman, your yaqeen, right? Same thing. So just like that, when a person, they do zikr, they remember Allah in their heart, they are doing some activity, right? You know, they're leaving sin, they're trying to adopt piety, remembering Allah, thinking about Allah. So what's happening is that we are softening our heart for that rain from Allah. Just like that person who tills the ground, softens the ground, so that you can absorb more of that rainwater. So that's what happens when a person sits down to remember, they are increasing their absorption capacity. Right? That when Allah will rain His nur, His blessings on their heart, they'll be able to absorb it. You can imagine like the world's most absorbent sponge, how much water it's able to absorb, how much water it retains. Just like that, when you remember Allah in your heart, right, your heart is absorbing. Their hearts will absorb all the anwarat, the waridat from Allah, all those tajalliyat that Allah sends as part of adhkurukum. That when Allah remembers, Allah sends all those blessings and graces and lights and nur and hidayah on that person's heart. So when a person remembers Allah, they are steadfast on their ibadah. This helps a person This helps a person in difficult times. And many of us, we sell ourselves short. We don't realize how powerful, how incredible this heart is that Allah has given to us. And if only we can start remembering Allah inside this heart, we can do that mujahida, then Allah will send that reward and that benefit. We'll be able to see that with our own eyes. And all of us, we have that potential. All of us, we have that potential that exists in every one of our hearts. But the only way we are going to realize that potential is by doing some activity, right? Is by making some effort, by some ibadah, some worship, some remembrance. And we can then start, right, with this simple step of having some daily regimen where we can think about Allah in our heart. And if we can have some kind of a daily regimen of thinking about Allah, some ibadah in our life, which is nafil, then we will find that every type of difficulty will turn into ease for us. Every type of difficulty, Allah will convert that, transform that into ease for us. In our heart, so you go back to the meanings. In our heart, we will feel contentment and solace. And it will not be able to affect our heart. And on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the two embedded eases, the hidden eases inside that difficulty. We'll be able to slice through and get those eases and barakah. We'll be able to reach the hidden core and get the calmness that is inside that difficulty. And the final meaning, that when we make that mujahida, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, Allah will guide us towards Him in multiple ways. Allah will send multiple blasts of hidayah on us. And Allah will then remember us. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ, Allah will remember us by showering His rahmah and His mercy upon our heart. So these are some of the ways in which this verse has been understood. And we should remember these different ways, and we can use these different ways as a way to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan. That outside there might be a testing, you know, times, but if we can develop that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can use that connection as a way to pierce through that difficulty and get that hidden calmness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes with that mujahida. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to become people who are regular in our worship, in our remembrance, who can return, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return ourselves to our very own fitrah, which is really our Islam. Islam is designed for us, for humanity, and Allah has designed humanity for Islam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to return back, to retune ourselves with this natural lifestyle. The more and more we tune ourselves to the worship of Allah, remembrance of Allah, reflection, love, the more and more Allah will put barakah into our life. And then we will realize the true meaning of this ayah, that inna ma'al usri yusra, that there will always be ease inside of our life. There will always be that contentment in our heart, no matter how difficult and how testing the zahiri situation might be. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of this ayah, make us living embodiments of this ayah. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub, that their hearts are always content. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that itminan through His remembrance. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll make dua inshallah. سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رب كريم اللهم ارحم خالق ہے مالک ہے ظلمنا أنفسنا ہم نے اپنے پر ظلم کیا يا رب كريم ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما ہمارے عیبوں کی پردہ پوشی فرما یا رب کریم جو گناہ یاد ہے ان کو معاف فرما جو کر کے بھول گئے ان کو معاف فرما اللہ جو ارادے سے کیا ان کو معاف فرما جو بھول کر کے ان کو معاف فرما اللہ جو اپنی آنکھوں سے کیا ان کو معاف فرما زبان سے کیا ان کو معاف فرما اللہ جو دل میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما جو سوچوں میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ گناہوں کی کراہت نصیب فرما اللہ گناہوں سے بچنا ہمارے لیے آسان فرما یا رب کریم گناہوں والی سوچ کو ہمارا دور فرما اللہ گناہوں والے جذبات کو ہم سے دور فرما اللہ گناہوں والی یادوں کو ہم سے دور فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہمیں نیکی تقوی والی زندگی نصیب فرما اللہ طہارت تزکیہ والی زندگی نصیب فرما یا رب کریم ہمیں اپنی رضا لقاء والی زندگی عطا فرما اللہ ایسا بننے کی توفیق عطا فرما کہ آپ راضی ہو جائیں یا رب کریم آپ کو راضی کرنا ہے اللہ آپ کو راضی کرنے کے لیے جمع ہے اللہ اپنی رضا عطا فرما دیجئے اپنی محبت عطا فرما دیجئے اپنی محبت کا ایک قطرہ اللہ ہمارے دلوں میں بھی ٹپکا دیجئے اللہ ہمیں اپنا دیوانہ بنا دیجئے مستانہ بنا دیجئے غیر کی محبتوں کو دلوں سے نکال دیجئے نفسانی شیطانی حیوانی محبتوں کو اللہ ہمارے سینوں سے نکال دیجئے ہمارے دلوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز کر دیجئے اللہ اپنے عشق آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما ہمارے انگ انگ سے اپنی محبت کو جاری فرما روئے روئے سے اپنی محبت کو جاری فرما ہڈی ہڈی بوٹی بوٹی اپنی محبت اپنی یاد نصیب فرما اللہ ہماری تمام پریشانیوں کو دور فرما ہماری تمام مشکلات کو آسان فرما اٹکے کاموں کو حل فرما بکھرے کاموں کو سمیٹ دیجئے الجھے کاموں کو سلجھا دیجئے اللہ اپنے کاموں میں برکتیں عطا فرما قدم قدم اپنی برکتیں نصیب فرما نفس و شیطان کے حملوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما اللہ کبھی بھی ہمیں بے سہارا نہ فرما کبھی بھی ہمیں اپنے در سے دور نہ فرما کبھی بھی اپنی رحمت کی چادر سے ہمیں دور نہ فرما اللہ ہمیشہ اپنی رحمت کی پشت پناہی نصیب فرما اپنی رحمت کی ٹھنڈی چھاؤں نصیب فرما یا رب کریم ہم تو نیک نہ بن سکے یا رب کریم آپ کا ہمارا نیک بنانا تو آسان ہے اللہ ہم اپنا آپ کو آپ کے سامنے سپرد کرتے ہیں اللہ ہمیں نیکی تقوی والی زندگی عطا فرما دیجئے ہمیں اپنے مقبول محبوب بندوں میں شامل فرما لیجئے اپنے محسنین مقربین بندوں میں شامل فرما لیجئے یا رب کریم جو نیک بنتے ہیں اللہ وہ بھی تو آپ ہی کی توفیق سے بنتے ہیں اللہ جس طرح آپ نے ان کو توفیق عطا فرمائی اللہ ہمیں بھی توفیق عطا فرما دیجئے ہمیں بھی اپنا بنا دیجئے یا رب کریم یا اللہ لوگ آپ سے دنیا مانگتے ہیں یا رب کریم ہم تو آپ سے آپ کو مانگ رہے ہیں اللہ ہمیں اپنے ساتھ تعلق عطا فرما دیجئے اللہ آپ مل گئے تو سب مل گئے یا رب کریم اپنا تعلق عطا فرما دیجئے، اللہ اپنے ساتھ ایک رشتہ عطا فرما دیجئے، اپنی معرفت اپنی ولایت نصیب فرما، اپنی دوستی نصیب فرما، اللہ ہماری اپنی اپنائیت عطا فرما، اللہ وحشت کو دور فرما، اجنبیت کو دور فرما، اللہ قرب کا تعلق نصیب فرما، یا رب کریم یا اللہ میرے معصیت کی ذلت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، اطاعت کی عزت نصیب فرما، اللہ ہمارے عملوں کو اس قابل نہیں کہ پیش کر سکیں، اللہ اپنی رحمت سے ان کو قبول فرما لیجئے، جو کمی کوتاہیاں ہیں اللہ اپنی رحمت سے معاف فرما دیجئے، یا اللہ ہم آپ سے آپ کی رحمت کی امید سے مانگتے ہیں، اللہ اپنی رحمت کی امید سے ہمیں عطا کر دیجئے، یا رب کریم ہماری نمازوں کو قبول فرما، ہمارے روزوں کو قبول فرما، ہماری تراویح کو قبول فرما، ہمارے قرآن کی تلاوت کو قبول فرما، اللہ اپنی رحمت سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما، اللہ جو محنت کرنی چاہیے تھی ویسے تو نہیں کر رہے، اللہ ابھی بھی سست ہیں، یا رب کریم ہماری کوتاہیوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے، یا رب کریم ہماری سستی کو دور فرما، ہماری نفس کی کامل اصلاح کر دیجئے، اللہ ہم بیمار ہیں سست ہیں، رب کریم ہم آپ کے پاس آتے ہیں، اللہ ہماری دل کو منور فرما دیجئے، ہماری دل کی بیماریوں کو دور فرما دیجئے، ہماری نفس کی بیماریوں کو دور کر دیجئے، اللہ ہمارے نفس کی اصلاح فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہم اپنے آپ کو آپ کے سامنے سپرد کرتے ہیں پیش کرتے ہیں، اللہ آپ مزکی حقیقی ہیں، اللہ ہمارے نفس کا تزکیہ فرما دیجئے، ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما دیجئے، قلب کو قلب سلیم منیب بنا دیجئے، اللہ ہمارا قلب یا مقلب القلوب قلب قلوبنا علی دینک، اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو دین کی طرف پھیر دیجئے، اسلام کی طرف پھیر دیجئے، اللہ اپنی محبت اپنے قرآن کی محبت ایک ایک چیز دین کی محبت ہمیں عطا فرما دیجئے، یا رب کریم رحمتوں کے ساتھ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما، اللہ ہمیں تو مانگنے کا طریقہ نہیں آتا، یا رب کریم ہماری زبانیں بھی جھوٹی ہیں، اللہ ہماری نگاہیں بھی ناپاک ہیں، اللہ ہمارے جسم کے اوپر بھی گناہوں کا نجاست ہے، یا رب کریم یا اللہ، اللہ آپ سے آپ کی رحمت کے طفیل آپ کی رحمت کے صدقے مانگتے ہیں، اللہ اپنی رحمت سے ہمیں عطا فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہمیں نہیں دیکھیے، اللہ آپ گنبد خضرا کو دیکھ لیجئے، اللہ ہم جیسے بھی ہیں، اللہ جتنے برے بھی ہیں، اللہ آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امتی ہیں، اللہ امتی ہونے کی وجہ سے اللہ ہماری مغفرت فرما دیجئے، یا رب کریم اس ایمان کی برکت سے ہماری مغفرت فرما دیجئے، اللہ اپنی رحمت نصیب فرما دیجئے، ہماری اٹھے ہاتھوں کو قبول فرما، اللہ مہربانی والا معاملہ فرما، اچھائی والا معاملہ فرما، نرمی والا معاملہ فرما، درگزر والا معاملہ فرما، ستر پوشی والا معاملہ فرما، اللہ یہ تمام صفات آپ کو پسند ہیں، اللہ یہ آپ کے نام ہیں آپ کی صفات ہیں، یا رب کریم اپنی ان صفات کے ساتھ ہمارے ساتھ معاملہ فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہمیں بھی اپنی نظر کرم عطا فرما دیجئے، یہ ایک رحمت کی نظر ہم پہ بھی ڈال دیجئے، اللہ ہمارا بھیڑ پاڑ ہو جائے گا، یا رب کریم ایک رحمت کی نظر ہمیں بھی عطا فرما دیجئے، ہمیں بھی اپنے مقبول محبوب بندوں میں شامل فرما لیجئے، اللہ سر کے بالوں سے لے کے پیر کے ناخنوں تک اللہ ایسا بنا دیجئے کہ آپ کو پسند آ جائیں، یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمتوں سے قبول فرما، اللہ جو مانگا ہے اللہ اسے بہتر عطا فرما، جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکے اللہ اپنی رحمتوں سے وہ بھی نصیب فرما، ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالی على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.